Welcome to Shakespeare Full Circle, a journey of a circuitous nature into the mind of the Bard of Avon, or as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. We travel back today to roughly 10 BCE, when Uncle Will's England remained under Roman rule. A tumultuous time filled with political uncertainty, murderous mandates, and some unapproved young love. Could give you some sleepless nights, groggily putting on your morning pantaloons, having not slept a wink. That phrase pops up in Cymbeline, written around 1610 with its first performance a year later. The story. King Cymbeline has a daughter, Imogen, a lovely, honest, and true young princess that falls in love with a young orphaned boy, Posthumus, who was taken in by her father. So they lived happily ever after. No, not really. This is Shakespeare after all, and not a fairy tale, so things are never really quite that easy when it comes to tales of teenage love, are they? Or, as Uncle Will would say in Romeo and Juliet, the course of true love never did run smooth.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
I know. It actually wasn't in R&J. A rookie mistake you can now avoid. You're welcome. It was, in fact, from A Midsummer Night's Dream, a play that, in keeping with our not-sleeping-a-wink theme, in itself involves an awful lot of slumbering. But we digress. The rough road for these lovers begins when Imogen and Posthumus marry in secret, driving Cymbeline to banish the young man from the kingdom, and force Imogen to marry Cloten, a remarkably stupid individual, spoiled, selfish, and frankly annoying, and whom she obviously does not love. She does, however, promise to remain faithful to her Posthumus, and to that end, disguises herself as a boy to flee the kingdom and her unsavory arranged marriage. Meanwhile, the villain of the piece, Iachimo, convinces Posthumus that Imogen has been unfaithful to him, causing him to call upon his servant Pisano, who has always been loyal and fond of Imogen, to murder her. In Act 3, Scene 4, Pisano comes across Imogen and confesses his order from his master, Posthumus.
Pretty, dispatch! The lamb entreats the butcher. Where's thy knife? Thou art too slow to do thy master's bidding when I desire it too. Oh,
gracious lady, since I received command to do this business, I have not slept one wink.
Do it and to bed, then.
I'll wake mine eyeballs out first.
Wherefore, then, didst undertake it?
Wherefore, indeed. There is an interesting thing to note here. Pisano says he has been unable to sleep, thinking about the deed he must commit, a deed he knows is wrong. In a Jiminy Cricket conundrum, he is plagued by his conscience, an affliction that Uncle Will did not seem to give his villain Iachimo, until the end at least. Not sleeping a wink does appear sporadically throughout literature, sometimes with the alteration of not sleeping one wink. The official term of insomnia, from the French via the Latin, in meaning not and somnus meaning sleep, was coined in the 17th century. In 1830, Alexander Pushkin would address this type of what he called the anxiety of the sleeping night when he penned his Lines Written at Night During Insomnia. But for most of the wider population, at least some 14 million of them, and probably more, would be exposed to Uncle Will's phrase in 1968 as they flipped over to the second side of the White Album.
I'm so tired, I haven't slept a wink. I'm so tired, my mind is on the...
Well, alas and alack, my friends, that's all we have time for. Join us again next time for another circuitous journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time. Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media. You can learn more and download all episodes at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.